All right, hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Jim Fear 138 podcast. Now, I regret to inform you that I had just recorded a whole huge big fucking podcast. It was like an hour and 20 minutes long. And I stopped recording and go back to noise clean it and export it and get to editing, because it's already 10 o'clock fucking clock and I got work in the morning. And it turns out that the first like hour and 10 minutes got deleted somehow. So I'm not really sure how that happened, but I will say I'm already drunk. So that's what I usually do. I come in here and I get my bottle of liquor or my beer and my cigarettes, and I sit down and I take a shot and I record the podcast and I just drink throughout the podcast and, you know, smoke my cigarettes or whatever. But now we're going to have to start all the fuck over. So that's going to be fun. By the way, there is also a plumber here. We've been having some problems with our pipes. So if you hear any noises in the background, I'm going to try to cut down on it. But I'm not going to be using the pause button anymore, because I think that might be what did it. Because normally I don't pause the Audacity recording when I'm doing a podcast or anything like that. So I think that might be what erased the first God only knows how fucking long. I don't know. I'm just not going to fuck with it. I'm just going to let it record. So let me get another shot of liquid courage and we'll get into what I wanted to talk about again. So this episode of the podcast, I wanted to talk about problems that the pulp revolution is going to, maybe, and is going to run into. So the first thing that I wanted to talk about is a while back, maybe, I don't know, a week or so, maybe a week and a half, someone had brought up the idea of turning the pulp revolution into a kind of New Age Inklings, which the Inklings were a writer group from way back around the turn of the 20th century. And basically there was an issue that was being brought up where P.C. Bushi had kind of objected in the nicest way possible to how Jeffro and Daddy Warpig were going about their tone with regards to writers like Asimov and Heinlein. Okay. So this might be a slightly condensed version, because I've already gone through this shit in my rambly way once. But he had kind of brought this up, and there was this big discussion about it, and, you know, people got involved, and the character limit on Twitter steadily got less and less as more names were added to the conversation. And someone, I think it might have been Alfred Jennison, might have been Ogma, but they brought up the Inklings and how, you know, whenever they had a problem like this, they would hash it out in private. And the idea was bandied about of like a Discord server or a Skype group or something like that, where we could hash shit like this out in private and not have to burden everybody's timelines with our discussions on, you know, tone and whatnot. So just if that happens, I think it would be kind of cool. I would honestly like to talk to some of these guys more in a less quote-unquote formal setting than Twitter. It would be interesting to have a Skype group to talk to certain guys more often and discuss stories and, you know, give book recommendations and get book recommendations and stuff like that. That would be fun. But there are issues with that kind of thing. So the first one that I can think of is elitism. You know, it would be very easy to say, oh, this clique of guys is running the pulp revolution, and they decide what's talked about, and they decide what stories get reviewed, and, you know, they decide who to go after and shit like that. Which, I don't think that would be the case, but it would be, you know, if the chats and the calls weren't made public, it would be very easy to make that assertion. Just saying. And I really don't like the idea of having this whole pulp revolution thing kind of ruled over by a clique. I'm really, really against the whole cliquish mentality, and you're either in or you're out, and there are rules for being in and shit like that. It rubs me the fucking wrong way. I kind of like the way that it's going right now. Maybe if everybody, literally everybody, moved over to Gab, it would be a little bit easier because their character limit is 300. And, you know, I don't know if they include usernames in that character limit. They probably do, but maybe not. I don't remember. I haven't used Gab in a little while. My Gab account has been kind of fallow. But I kind of like the way that it works now, where anybody who wants to can join in on the conversation and add their perspective to things. You know, and everybody's kind of seen as an equal. I mean, we do have a couple of thought leaders in the movement, but they're not, like, the only thing that sets them apart from some dumb fuck like me is the fact that they've got more time to study this kind of stuff. You know, that's what they decide to devote their time to. I have other shit that I'm working on, so I defer to them because they know more than I do, and I understand that they know more than I do. But anybody can join in, and anybody can give their perspective. I kind of like that. And the problem with the Skype group is, like, okay, let me preface this by saying that I've been involved in some pretty gay shit before. And not just homosexual stuff. Now, I'm just fucking around, guys. Calm down, calm down. I mean, Catholics are getting antsy. just a little friendly banter. But back in the day, when I first started using the internet heavily, like before this, I used YouTube to listen to music. That was it. I didn't really go on to image boards or message boards or anything like that. Very, like, insulated. I had other shit going on. Mostly I was reading, you know, or in various relationships or whatever. But when I started using the internet pretty heavily, I got involved in the brony fandom. Yes, I was one of those faggots. Which, shockingly, a pretty cool group of people. But I was involved in the brony commentary community. And it was basically just a group of people who like to make videos about the show and talk about the show and, you know, analyze the show or whatever. And eventually they all kind of decided at one point that it would be cool if we had a Skype group where we could go and talk about all of this stuff. You see the parallel that I'm drawing here. They decided that it would be cool if we had a Skype group that we could go and talk about all of this stuff with each other. So someone added me to it one day. It's just like, oh, fuck. You know, I've been watching these people's videos and what the fuck am I doing here? I've only made a couple of videos about this, which aren't on my channel anymore. But at first, it was very cool. It was very inclusive. You know, there was no agenda pushing or anything like that, which, you know, I, once again, if the Pulp Revolution got a Skype group or a Discord server or whatever, I wouldn't think that there would be there either. It was just kind of like the new thing came out, the new episode of the show debuted, and we would all jump into a call, and we would all watch it, jump into a call and talk about it, and bring our different perspectives to it, and then scatter off to our own little corners and make our own videos. I didn't make all that many videos. I was just kind of there. Every now and again, I would make a video. People seemed to like them, but anyway. It was very open. Basically, if you made, like, a video or two, you could get invited in. And it was no big deal. And this led to some clashing personalities. And eventually, people started fighting, and, you know, there was a lot of bullshit that went on with contentious personalities, and it doesn't matter who did what at this point, but there was a lot of shit. And eventually a moderator group had to be installed. So it was like, I don't know, like five people, kind of like the Supreme Court, you know. We have an odd number of people so that if a decision needs to be made, we can all come down on one side or the other, and the majority is the majority. And that went kind of okay. Kind of had a shitstorm to it. I won't get into all the grisly details, but it wasn't the best fucking thing. And I was a part of this moderator group for a while. And I, like I say, I had other shit going on too, so I wasn't the most involved. I would just kind of show up in the chat and dick around with people and jump into calls and have fun. And eventually it got to the point where the chat basically fucking imploded, as there were so many people there that eventually they had to install rules for joining. You had to have a certain number of videos, or you had to upload, so I was kind of grandfathered in, but, you know, you had to have a certain number of videos out, you had to have, you know, a certain number of videos that you were putting out on a certain schedule or whatever. It was kind of crazy. So this kind of gave it that air of exclusivity and shit like that. It turned into a mini little e-celeb circle jerk. And I really don't want that to happen to the Pulp Revolution. Like I say, I like the way that it works now, where anybody is welcome. Anybody can jump into the fucking conversation. And we're all on Twitter, so it doesn't fucking matter. You know, someone can come along and start posting in the hashtag, or, you know, jump into a conversation that me and Jeff Rowe and Brian Niemeyer and, you know, Kier Sova are having, and boom, they're in, you know, for as long as they fucking want to be, and then they can fucking walk when they don't feel like talking about this anymore. So, it just, there are issues that come along with a Skype group or a Discord server or whatever, that are going to need to be met by people who aren't me. I was actually a moderator for the Rift Cafe, the Brony Analysis Skype group for a while, about a year, and I never fucking want to do that again. I never want to be anywhere near a moderator position. I'm not a management guy. I'm just some drunk dick on the internet, you know. I don't want to be that guy again. Although, you know, nobody ever had a problem with me while I was being a mod. There might have been a couple of people, but it was a rare thing where someone had a problem with me. But I really just don't like being in a management position. I like doing my own thing. You know, the wandering samurai without a master. Sorry, I've been listening to the Ganji audiobooks. I want to say it's like The Red Sword from the East, or The Red Blade from the East is the first one. It's cool books. You should go pick them up. But, you know, I kind of like being the guy with no master, the guy with no affiliation. I'm responsible for what I do, and I'm not responsible for what anybody else does. You know, unless I'm involved in an op that they're putting on or whatever. As gay as that fucking sounds. But yeah, if somebody out there in the Pulp Revolution group does want to do that, I'm not against it on principle. I'm just worried that it's going to be compared to, like, Game Journo Pros, where there's going to be accusations of, you know, this elitist group, and, you know, they're crafting a narrative behind closed doors, and Skype logs aren't public, and all of that shit. And that's not even getting into, you know, managing interpersonal relations. And it's mostly guys. You know, at this point, the Pulp Revolution is mostly guys. And there is a thing called the male dominance hierarchy. This is one of these MGTOW concepts. But it is a very real thing. Guys are inherently competitive with one another. And they kind of jockey for position and shit like that. And there are some people that we defer to. For example, you know, Daddy Warpig or Jeffro. But there would still be that jockeying for position and that trying to get one over on the other guy. It's just a natural consequence of guys getting together in a close group. It just fucking happens that way. So, I like I say, I wouldn't be against it. I would probably join. That's not true. I would definitely join if I were invited. But just to whoever wants to go out and set that up, because it's not going to be me, there are a lot of problems that come along with that you're going to have to deal with. And if you don't have experience moderating, you're going to get overwhelmed. Just saying, you're going to get overwhelmed. So, fair warning if anybody does decide to do that. So, let me think. What was the other thing that I wanted to talk about? Oh, yes. I guess the main thrust of what I was talking about in the past hour, and I'm really pissed off that this thing deleted, because honestly, at this point, I'm in no position to talk shit, or talk about shit. I'm just drunk at this point. So that's a problem that the Pulp Revolution could run into, you know, being compared to Game Journo Pros. You know, accused of collusion and narrative crafting and, you know, elitism and all of that stuff. And then if you say, okay, well, anybody can join, that basically guarantees that your little group is going to fall the fuck apart. So like I say, I kind of like the Twitter method, where pretty much anybody can jump in and say whatever the fuck they want and then hop out whenever they fucking feel like it, you know. No judgments, no entry bar or anything like that. So just if somebody wants to go and do that, be aware. Be aware. You're going to run into problems. Just trying to give the benefit of my experience in that position, because it's not exactly the most fun place to be, especially when you have to play the bad guy. And I've been bad cop more than a few times in the Rift Cafe, and it wasn't always fun, and I probably hurt some people's feelings, and I kind of feel bad about that because they didn't really deserve it. So that's something that I still feel bad about. I tore into a guy, and he really didn't deserve the asshole reaming that I gave him, and I still feel bad about that. I apologized and everything, like, way after the fact, but I still feel bad about going off on the guy like that. So you're going to get into situations like that where you're going to do things that you regret, and you're going to have to make hard decisions. So, like I say, I want nothing to do with the management level. If somebody wants to set this up, I'll join and I'll dick around with people and I'll shitpost and have fun and get into calls or whatever and all of that, but I don't want to be anywhere near the management level. I'm not that guy. I'm not a management person. I come and go far too randomly to be given a position of authority and power. So, just saying, if somebody wants to do that, beware. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is what's going to happen. Now, that's something, that whole Discord Skype thing, that may happen. If somebody wants to set that up, go for it, fine. But this is something that is going to happen, and I want everybody to be prepared for it. So, this is going to tie back to my time in the men's rights movement, which I'm still kind of loosely affiliated with, and MGTOW, which I am a MGTOW. I'm a man going his own way. I'm not a traditionalist. I'm not a Republican. I'm barely a conservative. MGTOW is the only real label that kind of fits, because it's so inherently individualistic of a philosophy. But this has to do with what happened in regard to the thing that I just mentioned, that the discussion of the Skype Discord thing came out of. So, recently, over on the Castalia House blog, Daddy Warpig and Jeffro have been relentlessly slamming Campbellian science fiction. I mean, like, going to town, bending it over a table and just fucking it to death. Just fucking it to death. And it's been glorious to see, guys. In my opinion, keep it up. But this discussion has come up about tone. Mostly kind of spearheaded by PC Bushi over at pcbushi.wordpress.com. And I'm of two minds with this. So let's take the MRM and MGTOW as the kind of two extremes here. So the MRM was incredibly concerned with image, because they're trying to appeal to people. They're trying to get people on their side. They're trying to change laws, and to do that you need public backing. You need the voters on your side. And if you can get the voters on your side, then you can get the politicians on your side, and the dominoes keep falling. So there's a Barbarossa video out there on his channel called Stop Talking About Hypergamy? No Way. And I think that's the title. If I can find it, I'll put it in the show notes. And the basic thrust of his video is there was an interview on A Voice for Men news radio with Fetal Bogan. Now, if you don't know who Fetal Bogan is, don't feel bad, but one of the points that he made that Barbarossa was specifically responding to was the idea that men's rights activists and MGTOW also, because this was at the point where there wasn't a whole lot of division there. They hadn't split off into separate communities. They were different communities, but there was a lot of overlap, and then shit happened and that group split and they're now two completely fucking distinct organizations. Well, MGTOW isn't really an organization. It's just kind of this random collection of assholes. But Fetal Bogan had made the point that if you talk about hypergamy too much, and if you don't know what hypergamy is, the long and the short of it is that this is a function of female nature, wherein women look in interpersonal and romantic relationships for the bigger, better deal. So Barbarossa has another video called House Husbands Just Ain't Sexy. And that demonstrates hypergamy and Breifeldt's Law very, very fucking well. not to mention Women Against Feminism kind of proved the fucking law. But anyway, essentially, if you're in a relationship with a woman and you're not pulling your financial or protectorate weight in the relationship, she's going to go off and look for somebody who can. You know, women look for the bigger, better deal to protect themselves and ensure a stable future for their offspring. It's not anything against women. That's just how they're fucking wired. Fine. You know, I don't necessarily have a problem with it. That's just the way women are. And of course, I'm speaking in generalities here, because exceptions prove the rule. But Fetal Bogan had brought up the point that talking about hypergamy and, moreover, explaining female nature is going to alienate women. It's going to make women feel bad and feel like that shit is being talked about them, and they're not going to be sympathetic to the men's rights movement, because who's going to be sympathetic to a group of people that are talking shit about you? And there are two different approaches to this. There's the MRM approach, which is basically to stop fucking talking about hypergamy. Unless you're Karen Strawn, then you get a free fucking pass because you're a woman and you can say whatever the fuck you want. So, the MRM approach to the hypergamy issue and talking about female and male nature is to just not do it. Let's just concentrate on the laws that need to be changed, because we're trying to get society to admit that men are people, essentially, and that they've gotten a fucking raw deal, and that through legal action, we can correct this raw deal that men have given. And to do that, to actuate this legal action that we want to perpetuate, we're going to need a lot of people on our side. And more importantly, we're going to need women on our side, because people are more likely to listen to women, because people like women more than men. Women like women more than men. Men like women more than men. We're going to need women on our side, and if we alienate women by talking shit about them, then, you know, it's not going to be a good look. You know, we're not going to get the amount of support that we need. Now, the MGTOW side of this little argument here is outlined by Barbarossa in that video, Stop Talking About Hypergamy, No Way, as basically, fuck you. Is the general thrust of his thing. He was nicer because he was on good terms with Fetal Bogan at the time. But basically, fuck you was his general thrust, because MGTOW is out there to pull men out of the meat grinder, to get men off of the plantation, to get their blood out of the machine and thereby starve the fucking machine. It's trying to wake men up to the realities of male nature and female nature so they can understand what they are, they can understand what women are, and they can understand how the two interact and then structure their lives accordingly in the current legal and social atmosphere that we all exist in. So not talking about hypergamy is completely antithetical to the point of MGTOW. Now, to tie all of this back to the Pulp Revolution, and to show how it's a little bit different, because this is not about saving lives. This is not about getting laws changed. This is about breaking open a genre of fiction so that anybody can do whatever the fuck they want in it. Basically, as I said, Daddy Warpig and Jeffro came out, and they started hammering Campbellian science fiction, which, I mean, considering that, you know, Vox Day owns Castalia House, and he was trying to institute a Campbellian revolution in sci-fi, is all kinds of fucking funny. But they start hammering this shit, and they use very divisive language, and they name names, and they call names. They use very unflattering language, put it like that. And P.C. Bushi's kind of objection, I guess you could say, to all of this, because he was very respectful, and I don't think that he's tone policing. I think that he's actually concerned. So, like, if this was something like, you know, MGTOW, if he had come into MGTOW with this kind of shit, I would have told him to, you know, go fuck off. This is about, you know, saving men's lives here. But this is a totally different situation, and I don't think that he's trying to tone police. His basic thrust of his argument is that, you know, if we're trying to reach a lot of people, and we're trying to get people to be sympathetic to our views, then, you know, insulting someone's favorite author is not really conducive to our quote-unquote goals here. So, you know, if you pick your favorite author, you know, your just absolute favorite author, you just love this person, you think they're a pillar of the genre that they write in, and you walk into an internet forum, or a hashtag on Twitter, or whatever, or you just hear two people talking about it on the street, and they are absolutely ass-raping your favorite author, just shitting on them. No punches are pulled, no expense is spared, they're just going to town, just got them on the ground, bloody face, and they're just punching and punching and punching until they stop moving. You're going to be less likely to, A, listen to what those people have to say, and B, take those people seriously if you do listen to them. So, this shit talk about Campbellian science fiction is going to alienate people. And I freely admit that. That is going to alienate people. You know, you start talking shit about a pillar of science fiction like Isaac Asimov or Robert Heinlein, and people who like Asimov and Heinlein are going to tune out. They're just going to leave. You know, you're talking shit about my guy here. Why the fuck would I listen to you? So I understand where P.C. Bushi is coming from. However, like with MGTOW, there is a core of knowledge here that is not only being suppressed, but it is being actively fought against its coming out. You know, the forgotten canon of sci-fi and fantasy in Appendix N, just as an example. That's not even talking about all of the people that weren't in Appendix N that contributed to the genre and wrote for the pulps back then, have been forgotten. And, you know, a lot of this elitist stuff came along with Campbellian science fiction. Like, Daddy Warpig made a very good point in one of the posts on the Castalia House blog. It was a recent one, so if you're listening to this close to the recording, which is on the 24th, you can probably still find it up there, that, you know, he kind of hyperbolizes it. But it was, you know, our science fiction has to be scientifically accurate, and we have to put rigor into our research for our science fiction, and fantasy is for children. Who'll even let these guys in the building? You know, that kind of shit started out, because fantasy really doesn't have a lot of, you know, intellectual rigor behind it, depending on where you're going. So this history has been actively shunted off to the side. It's been memory holed. Now, fortunately, the memory hole is not like the memory hole in 1984. It's not a firebox. It's just a hole in the ground, you know, so it is possible for us to go and dig up the memory hole and expose its contents to the daylight and spread them out. But this adversarial tone that people are taking with Campbellian science fiction and this shattering of idols that they're doing, I am very, very into busting sacred cows. I'm not a fan of sacred cows. I try not to have sacred cows. Of course I do. You know, everybody has their sacred cows. But I'm very into busting sacred cows. Even my own. you know, every now and again, I try to face up to the fact that, oh, yeah, that was a sacred cow for me, and, oh, now it's not. You know, I've had a lot of ideals and ideas and things that I held dear for years and years and years broken. So I try not to get too attached to stuff like that anymore. Maybe that's sad. But on the bright side, if somebody comes along and smashes an idea that I had thought was true for the longest time, I'm going to be less antagonistic towards them because, well, you know, I've been wrong about a lot of shit, so I might have been wrong about that too. So I totally 100% understand where Daddy Warpig and Jeffro are coming from. These idols need to be overthrown. Their temples need to be torn down. Isaac Asimov wasn't that great, people. Like, I honestly, I haven't read a lot of Isaac Asimov, but, you know, there's a lot of writers out there that I have a lot of respect for that have issues. Like Robin Hobb. Robin Hobb's one of my favorite writers. She has a serious fucking problem with delineating everything that happened in the past two books in exposition. She's kind of fucking annoying. You know, if you're at the third book, you probably read the other fucking two and you don't need the history lesson. You know, that's a problem with her writing. One of the only perfect writers that I can think of is Diana Wynne Jones, which she wrote Howl's Moving Castle and Dark Lord of Dirkholm, which if you haven't read those books, go read those books, especially Dark Lord of Dirkholm. Dark Lord of Dirkholm is great. It's absolutely brilliant. But yeah, it's spelled exactly how it sounds. Dark Lord of Dirkholm. Might be an E on the end of Dirkholm. But it's a really, really fucking good fantasy novel. Takes the piss out of the genre. Not exactly subversive, but it just kind of takes the piss out of things. It's also got a little bit of genre bending with the sci-fi thing. That comes in like at the very, very... Well, no, it permeates through the whole novel. But it really gets brought to the fore at the very end. But yeah, it's a brilliant book. Anyway, god damn, I'm drunk. I got sidetracked. So. I love saying so. I don't know why. It centers me. It gets me back on track. So. I can absolutely understand where Jeffro and Warpig are coming from. You know, I get that, you know, to get people turned on to what actually fucking happened back then and destroy the revisionist history, you're gonna have to knock some sacred cows over. You're gonna have to knock some idols off their pedestals. And that's going to necessarily alienate some people and require some adversarial language. So I don't really know where I fall on this. Ostensibly, from my perspective, if somebody is going to be turned off of the greatness of Edgar Rice Burroughs because the guy who is promoting Edgar Rice Burroughs has talked shit about Isaac Asimov, we probably didn't need that person. They probably weren't going to be all that interested in Edgar Rice Burroughs. Just saying. But then again, I could be wrong about that. There could be somebody out there who would find the pulps and absolutely love them. But they got turned off because these people were talking shit about one of their favorite writers. So, I really don't know where I fall on this, and that's something that's going to have to be hashed out by wiser minds than mine. But, I guess this comes down to how do you want the pulp revolution to be quantified? Or categorized, I guess is a better word. Do you want it to be seen as a unified force that is all marching in the same direction, like an army heading towards the horizon to do battle with the enemy? Or do you want it to be like it has been right now, like it has been and is at the moment, this random collection of people that are kind of just wandering in the same direction? You know, some guy said that there's water over there. Like, you know, basically what happened was Jeffro went out into the desert. And he came back with jewels and, you know, big, big pouches of water. And we've all been wandering out here in the desert for so fucking long, and there's no water anywhere, and we can't find an oasis. And There's no wealth out here. Why did we even come out here? And then Jeffro goes out by himself, and then he comes back, and he says, guys, look what I fucking found. It's this way. And then, like, you know, 42, like, 200 people start wandering out that way, which is kind of how it's been so far. It's just been a bunch of people kind of wandering in the same direction, spread out, and occasionally meeting back up at night to trade news or, you know, have fun or whatever. Have a drink together. Which, in the first case, in the unified front, we are the pulp revolution. We all have to take responsibility for what everybody else says. That's just a fucking thing. That's gonna happen. The thing about MGTOW that really drew me to it wasn't just all of the delving into human nature that they did, but it was the fact that it's a highly individualistic philosophy that makes each man accountable for his own actions and not the actions of anybody else. So, my words are my words. If I say something that Barbarossa or Stardusk or CS MGTOW or M or whoever disagrees with, they're free to fucking disagree with me. And they don't have to take responsibility for what I said because they're not affiliated with me except under this loose banner of MGTOW that we all, you know, it's this idea that we all kind of subscribe to, this philosophy that we all loosely subscribe to. With the pulp revolution as it is now, I'm not responsible for anything that Jeffro or PC Bushi or John Mollison or Daddy Warpig says. If I see a post come out at the Castalia House blog that I just vehemently disagree with, or I just, you know, that's not really my thing, I'm free to fucking drop it. I don't have to do anything with it. You know, I don't have to take responsibility for it. I don't have to answer for it. If you want the pulp revolution to be perceived as a unified front, then we're all going to have to start monitoring each other. And there's going to have to be tone policing going on. And that's not fun. That's very much not fun. It also puts people in awkward situations, like me, because I'm terminally incapable of shutting the fuck up. Anybody who follows me on Twitter knows I can't keep my fucking mouth shut. You know, I've had a net gain of followers on my Twitter account over the past couple of months, but I lose almost as many people as follow me just because they think, oh, this guy made a funny tweet. I'll go follow him and maybe he'll say something else. Next thing you know, I'm doing like, I'm doing the echo quotes because I think it's fucking funny or I'm making a joke about Jews or making a joke about the alt-right or whatever, or, you know, just talking about politics too much, and then they just unfollow me because that wasn't really what they were here for. You know, other people would have to be responsible for what I say, and I don't want to put that on fucking anybody. Anybody. I don't want anybody but me to be responsible for the things that I say. And moreover, I don't want to be responsible for the things that anybody else says. So with tying this back to the MRM, you know, with the MRM, if you have some crazy guy coming out here and just talking absolute shit, then the rest of the MRM is responsible for that. Like, Paul Elam released Bash a Violent Bitch Month on A Voice for Men, which was the flagship of the men's rights movement on the internet. And it was satire. Yes, it was satire. But the MRM was relentlessly dragged about that. And everybody was tarred with Paul Elam doing this thing that these people didn't understand, but they were going to take the wrong way anyway. So if Daddy Warpig wants to come out there and say something, you know, pertaining to the pulp revolution that's particularly egregious, I can't imagine what that would be. You know, Warpig's a smart guy. I don't imagine that he would say anything particularly contentious or egregious. You know, he's not going to come out there and start saying the pulp revolution is about getting Jews out of science fiction or anything like that. You know, but if something like that does happen and we're trying to present this, you know, unified front, then we're all going to be responsible for that. Or if I say something, You know, and it doesn't even have to be related to the pulp revolution. If anybody says anything, if they express a political opinion that somebody doesn't like, the rest of us are going to be tarred with that. And the thing that MGTOW did to inoculate itself against that is put itself out there as an individualistic philosophy. This is for every man. Every man can take it and do what they will with it. There is no Bible. There are no Ten Commandments. There's one commandment. Don't get married. That's it. Other than that, do whatever the fuck you want. If you want to go fuck a prostitute, go fuck a prostitute. If you want to have a girlfriend, have a girlfriend. If you want to have five girlfriends, have five girlfriends. But just don't get married. That's the one thing that every single MGTOW out there agrees about. You know, so because of this individualistic inoculation, individual MGTOWs are not responsible for what other individual MGTOWs say. And with the pulp revolution, I don't want to be held to what Jeffro says or what Daddy Warpig says. Now, once again, these guys have said nothing that I would disavow. I wouldn't disavow these guys if you fucking paid me, if you promised me the best career in audiobooks ever. I could quit my job tomorrow and go and work on audiobooks and just fulfill my dream, and Dimension Bucket Media would become the biggest fucking name in audiobooks. I wouldn't take it. All I had to do was disavow Jeffro. Fuck you. Fuck you. I'm not going to disavow my mans over there. I'm not like that. I have more integrity than that. You know, there's very few things that these guys could say that would make me disassociate myself from them. But if we want to try and play to the masses, essentially, if we want to play to the masses, if we want to get, you know, the biggest amount of people on our side, then they're going to hold us all to this big collectivist standard. And we're all going to be responsible for what the other one says. And I don't like that. I'm not a fan of that kind of thing. I'm responsible for what I say. And everybody else should be responsible for what they say. Nobody should be responsible for what I say but me. Because God knows if other people were responsible for what I say, I would have gotten a lot of people fired by now. Because it's not like it's hard to find my real fucking name. Yeah, it's pretty much right there on the store page of my website. But if we take this approach where everybody is individually responsible for what they say, then it gives us a lot more freedom. So if PC Bushi wants to take a more agreeable, let's just use the word agreeable tone with his rhetoric, and Daddy Warpig and Jeffro want to take a more adversarial tone with their rhetoric, then fine. Nobody's responsible for what anybody else says. This is just some random collection of assholes that are kind of moving in the same general direction. So there are advantages to both, but there are extreme disadvantages to setting ourselves up as a collective that I am not down with. I'm a very individualistic person. And if that happens, I'm not gonna, you know, cut myself off from the pulp revolution. I think that this is an area that, like, for the longest time, I've been looking for something to do with my free time. Essentially, you know, I've got a certain amount of free time, and being an atheist, my personal philosophy is that there is no meaning to the universe, so you have to create your own meaning. And I've been looking for something that I can devote my time to, that I can devote huge swaths of my life to, something that I can get excited about, something that I think is going to create positive change in the world on a massive scale, because everybody wants to be a part of something. And I think the pulp revolution is where I can do it, because science fiction and fantasy has always been in the background, and I've never really taken it seriously. It's just kind of been this genre of fiction that I'm into. But knowing that there is something out there that I can fight for within that thing that has given me so much joy over the past, I don't know, almost 29 years now, I would feel like I was not wasting my time by offering my sword to that cause, to, you know, be all melodramatic faggot about it. So I'm not, if this does happen, then I'm not about to, if we do go the MRM route, you know, roughly, I'm not about to cash out of the Pulp Revolution, just pick up my ball and go home. I'm still going to be here, but I'm not going to be part of the collective. I'm not really into that. Maybe I'm not making a lot of sense. It's probably because I'm drunk. But the whole individualistic method really does appeal more to me. So I think I've made that point. But I'm worried that it might not be up to us. Like I say, with MGTOW, that kind of started out and kept as this individualistic thing where each man is only responsible for his own actions and words. And nobody else is able to be tarred by other people's actions and words because they don't accept it. They're just, I'm not that guy. I'm not responsible for his shit. Fuck him, so far as I'm concerned. Or, you know, I like the guy, but I don't have to sign off on everything that he says. Depending on, you know, how egregious the asshole is. But it might not be up to us. Because this is getting big. And if you go and watch that Barbarossa video, Stop Talking About Hypergamy, No Way, he brings up a study and a group of scientists who have mapped social interaction and social media. And when I say mapped, I mean mapped. You can map out the connections between every single user on Facebook. I'm dead fucking serious. This is a real thing that sociologists are doing. Right now, they can map Facebook and determine the connection that, you know, average Joe over here has with, I don't know, Nathan Fillion, you know, that who has a connection with average Jane over here, and average Jane and average Joe don't know each other. They don't even know that each other exists, but they're connected through Nathan Fillion, and they're also through Nathan Fillion connected to a million other people. So it's really, really fascinating shit. But the important part of that is the point in the video where he discusses ideas becoming mainstream. And there is a threshold that exists which decides the point at the tipping point at which ideas spill over into the mainstream. The watershed moment, I guess you could say. And it's 10%. It's 10% of the population. So if 10% of the population start believing a certain thing, then it will eventually become the mainstream belief, you know, however diluted it may be at that point. So with the Pulp Revolution, let's just say that the population that we're talking about is the science fiction community in America. Okay? Let's say that that's 60,000 people. Just pulling a number straight out of my ass. Let's say that that's 60,000 people. There's 60,000 people in America that are heavily involved in fantasy and science fiction literature. We would have to convince 6,000 of those people. 6,000 of those people. Or would it be 600? Hang on. Yeah, I was right. Apparently I can do math in my head when I'm drunk. I have no idea how that happened. I've never been good at math. Anyway. So yeah, 6,000 people. We would have to convince 6,000 people to get on board at some level of enthusiasm with the Pulp Revolution. At that point, at that 6,000 person, you know, benchmark, then the idea would start to spill over into the mainstream, and it would become, you know, the mainstream view in 10 to 20 years. Maybe even faster, given how quickly the internet allows people to communicate with one another and find out information. So at that 10% of the population, that's what basically we're working towards in the Pulp Revolution. Whichever, you know, if you want to go with the entire population of the United States, or the entire population of the world, or the entire population of people that like science fiction and fantasy in the United States, or the entire population of people that like science fiction and fantasy in the world. You have to get to 10%. We, in the Pulp Revolution, have to get to 10%. That's what we're working towards. That 10%, if we can get to 10%, if we can get 10% of people to think that we're not worth stoning and burning alive, then we will eventually become the mainstream, like, I don't know, like 10 years down the road. And that, like I say, it might not be up to us whether or not we collectivize or we do this individualistically. The idea, like, with MGTOW, it really is, like, there's a video that Stardust did called The Price of Blotting Out the Sun. It might have been called something different, but the general gist of the title is The Price of Blotting Out the Sun. And basically, he made the point that, you know, society existing as it does allows MGTOW to exist. MGTOW could not exist if society was a different way. And if more and more men become MGTOW, eventually the sun that gives, you know, that gives us life is going to be blotted out, and we're not going to be able to do our MGTOW thing anymore. So, you know, he doesn't necessarily bring this up as a good or bad thing, I think. It's been like a year and a half since I watched the video. But the price of blotting out the sun here is that we might become collectivists by default. We might collectivize by necessity. Because what we're doing is a challenge to power. Like, I made this point that in the deleted podcast, the one that didn't record properly, that we're just a bunch of enthusiasts. We're just a bunch of assholes with blogs and YouTube channels who found this thing one way or another, mostly through Jeff Rowe, but one way or another. And we really like it, and we really want to talk about it, and we, you know, it's like anything that you like. You like Jesus, you want to tell other people about Jesus. Jesus was a cool guy, you want to tell other people about how cool Jesus was. You like the Avengers, you want to talk to other people about the Avengers. It's just how things go. That's just human psychology. So, because we are just out here talking about this shit, and because what we are talking about distinctly goes against the orthodoxy that rules science fiction and fantasy literature at the current moment, we are going to be ruffling some feathers. We are going to be going up against some people with some power and with some large followings that are going to be very, very fucking angry about the fact that we are instituting a democracy. Because that's essentially what we're trying to do here in the Pulp Revolution. We're not trying to get rid of Campbellian science fiction. At least, I don't think we are. I'm not. Once again, benefits of the individualistic versus the collectivist model. But we're not trying to get rid of Campbellian science fiction. We're not trying to get rid of blue or pink SF. We're not trying to get rid of big men with screwdrivers. We just want everybody to be able to publish and read whatever they think is cool. Whatever you think is fun. You want to write some pink SF stories about the strong women's in a man's world, and she's a genius and she wants to take out the patriarchy or whatever. Go for it. Fucking write it. There will be people who will buy it and read it and enjoy it. You know, you want to write your big men with screwdrivers science fiction story, your Asimov science fiction story, go for it. You might be the next Asimov, motherfucker. Have fun. Have fun with it. You think that shit's fun? Go for it. You know, you want to write pulpy stories? Go write the pulpy stories. You want to write a shadow style character? Go write a shadow style character. You want to write a Conan style character? Go write a Conan style character, motherfucker. We don't care. We just care that you're having fun. And if you're having fun, then good. Good. Keep having fun. Because fun is the fucking point. That's what the Pulp Revolution is about, in my eyes. But the problem that we come into here is that there is a historical revision that has taken place and has become the history. Like in, like, I hate to bring up 1984 because it's misquoted all the fucking time, and it's just everybody uses it for every single fucking political angle ever, and it's so goddamn annoying. But in 1984, Winston's job was to alter photographs and news stories. That was his job. Shit that had happened in the past, he had to change it to make sure that it lines up with the party's line currently. Okay? So, that has happened. That has happened. That's what had happened currently. That's the world that we're living in. Shit has been erased. Shit has been tarred and feathered and sent down the memory hole. But like I said earlier, the memory hole is not a fire pit. It is just a hole in the ground. We can dig it up. And we're doing that right now. But these people who have instituted and perpetuate this revisionist history and this memory holing of the forgotten canon of science fiction and fantasy, they have power. It's like a dam that they have control over. And there's spouts on the dam, but they decide what comes out of the dam. And there are writers out there who play into this in the hopes that one of these days they might be able to be that powerful themselves, or at least make a living within this structure of power. Now, when we come out here and we say that anybody should be able to publish and read whatever the fuck they want because different people have different tastes and different people have different definitions of fun, we're an inherent threat to their power structure. That's just the way it fucking is. You know, we may not mean to go up to that dam, and we probably do. I know I do. I know I do. I'm picking up loads of dynamite, and I'm walking dead set fucking towards that dam like, I'm gonna hit a weak point today. That's my mission right now. I want to blow that dam the fuck up. But, my personal motivations aside, we may not be intending to destroy that dam. But because of what we're doing, you know, maybe it could be characterized as we're a bunch of kids that play on the dam every day. And we, you know, we find weak points in the dam and let a little bit of water out, you know, just as a lark, just for fun, just because we think it's funny. We're weakening the structural integrity of that dam every day. Because we refuse to shut the fuck up. We refuse to quit picking. We refuse to quit picking at the dam, and as a consequence of our activities, that dam is going to break. And these people know that. There are already cracks in the facade showing. For example, yesterday, as of this recording, which is the 24th, so on the 23rd, there was a blog post over at, hang on, ruthlessculture.com. I'll drop the archive link for this in the show notes. I don't even know what the fucking blog post is about. I don't care enough to fucking read it. That's not the important point. The important point is somebody came into this dude's comment section, brought up the Sad and Rabid Puppies, the pulp revival movement, before the golden age of SF. This is funny. This is a bunch of, quote, this is a bunch of predominantly conservative / alt-right writers who have gone back to before the golden age of SF, to the swashbucklers and spaceships, age of John Carter and Barsoom, etc., and are writing short stories in the fantastical pulp style of Leigh Brackett and other authors. They're even more hyper-conservative than the sentimental stories in some ways, but at the same time, knowingly so. It's retro and neo-reactionary rather than nostalgic. They've started a magazine, Kirsova, and it's possible something interesting might come of that. So this guy kind of shits on people. And then Alexander, our good friend over at Kirsova Magazine, comes in. And he says, "Hi, if anyone is interested, the second issue of our magazine is currently free on Amazon for Kindle through Friday, and the content of our first two issues are available on our website. While a number of our fans and readers could be considered conservative or even quote-unquote alt-right, we have a pretty diverse group of contributors who come from all over the spectrum. More than anything, we, Kirsova that is, are championing exciting stories full of action and adventure. Ironically, having published essays on women in science fiction by noted feminist writers such as Christine Catherine Rush and Liana Kersner, would probably put us left of center in a lot of eyes despite having attracted a conservative critical fan base and readership. I'd be more than happy to field any questions you might have about the magazine, gaming, or fiction in general. Also, while I can't speak for anyone else, I'm no pro. I just love fiction and decided to start sinking money into paying writers who happen to be writing the kind of stories I was enjoying, having discovered stuff like Planet Stories. No Ponzi schemes, I promise. You can ask any of our contributors, my check's clear. And then Jonathan McCalmont says, that's the guy who runs the blog. Mate, you've got a Gamergate banner on your website. And then Alexander responds, yeah. Which, that might not have been how it sounded in his head, but that's how it sounded in mine. Just that irreverent, yeah. Like that's taken as read. Jonathan McCalmont says, so you're either a bunch of misogynistic fascists or you're apologists for and supporters of misogynistic fascists. And then Alexander says, I don't think you know what either of those words mean. My apologies for wasting both our time. And then it goes on, thanks to PC Bushi in his civility post for linking this. Jonathan McCalmont replies, Christ, you even tip your fedora when commenting on blogs. And then PC came in and said, uh-oh, someone with a different worldview than my own. Time to start throwing out ad hominems, the very model of open-mindedness. And this is where you know he mad. This is where you know he mad. Jonathan McCalmont responds to Bushi as, you self-serving Nazi pricks turned up in the comments of my blog to try and publicize a sad sack right-wing fantasy magazine filled with some of the worst writing this side of a head injuries unit. Now you are defending yourself with debate class pedantry and bad faith appeals to liberal values? Piss off back to Kotaku in action. This is what I'm talking about. That 10% is coming. It's gonna happen. It's gonna fucking happen. All right. There are people that don't even necessarily agree with us politically, or agree with what we're doing in fiction, that are taking our kind of movement and magazines like Kirsova and putting them into people that actively hate us or have nothing to do with us whatsoever. That comment right there, if it gets left up, is going to interest people. People are going to be like, oh, really? There's a magazine called Kirsova. I'll go check that out. I'll go over to Amazon and check that out. They'll, you know, type in Kirsova. Maybe they'll buy an issue. That'll get people interested. Then that person who maybe buys an issue off of this, maybe one person, will go out and they'll read the issue and maybe they'll really like it. And maybe they'll start talking about it. Maybe they'll get in with the pulp revolution. This is how this shit builds. This is how this shit builds. And that 10% is coming. That 10% is coming. I don't know what number the 10% is going to be. I don't even know what the number of the population is. I don't know if we're trying to influence sci-fi fantasy fans or if we're trying to influence the population at large. But that 10% is coming, and none of us know when it's going to hit. And in the meantime, shit is about to get real. Just saying. Shit's about to get fucking real. All right? And this is kind of where the whole collectivist, individualistic thing comes in. You know, MGTOW is more than able to survive being an individualistic philosophy based on a bunch of random assholes that kind of think in the same direction, wandering through the desert in a certain way. The Pulp Revolution might. It might survive in that fashion. If we set it up right now, before this evolves from a scene into a community, you know, right now this is like 20 people, 20, 30, maybe 40 people blogging, you know, making YouTube videos, doing podcasts, whatever, writing their own stories. This is, like I say, this is maybe 40 people, though there's a lot more interest. There's a lot more interest than maybe 30, 40 active participants. But the active participants, the quote-unquote true believers, because that was the point. I don't know if I ever explained this because I'm really, really drunk at this point. But the point with the whole social media mapping and all of that stuff is that you have this population, and if you drop a couple of true believers in there, just enough to start talking to people, eventually they will start influencing people. And if it's below 10%, if their influence remains below 10% of the population, then they have no chance. But, if they get over 10%, they will become the mainstream. Eventually, one of these days, they will become the mainstream. So, we have maybe 40 true believers. Some are more active than others, but we've got maybe 40 people out there that are actively creating content. We don't really have a whole lot of mops. But it might not be up to us. We might be forced to band together as to go total drama, man of war, faggot with it. We might be forced to band together as brothers in arms against this, because we're not trying to start a war. We're trying to release the water so that everybody can take a fucking drink of whatever part of it looks best to them. But because these people have had a monopoly on the water for so fucking long, they're threatened by that. And this is gonna get ugly. There is going to be, like, going back to Gamergate, fucking, I don't remember if it was Milo Yiannopoulos or King of Pole, but they got a fucking syringe full of antifreeze sent to them in the mail. I remember that. I saw the fucking pictures. You know, I don't know if that's going to happen to Jeffro or Daddy Warpig or Alexander over at Kirsova or anything. You know, none of us are out here hiding, but it's going to get fucking ugly. Bosses are going to be called. Employment is going to be threatened. They might even take it to the point of people's children. And the one bit of advice that I can give to you is A. This is multi-part advice. A. Be prepared. Meaning, buy guns. Because if some motherfucker shows up on your front lawn wanting to tussle with you about the pulp revolution, you don't have to entertain him. And you don't have to fight him. So if with A, be prepared to take care of yourself. B, if this shit does happen and we are forced into this, you know, either through inaction on our part to define our terms of quote-unquote membership, or through collective action on the part of our detractors, we have to stand strong. We have to present a united front with not a chink in our armor. And that requires no weak links in the chain. And there are probably some people out there right now in the pulp revolution scene that are going to get attacked and they're going to drop out. That's just gonna fucking happen. And if that does happen, leave them alone. Leave them alone, guys. Don't necessarily cut the person off, but don't give them shit. You don't know their situation. You don't know what they were contacted with. You know, you don't know what was threatened. And you don't know how seriously they're taking it. So, just let them be. Let them be. They might be threatening their kids or something like that. Someone like me, I don't have that shit to worry about. I'm just some drunk asshole. You know, my job is pretty secure. And I'm not really worried about my audiobook career. Especially with all of the public domain stuff out there that I can take advantage of. But not everybody is as unassailable or hard to assail as I am. So if somebody has to drop out, then they have to fucking drop out. Then we just fucking close ranks. We have to present a united front. It's shit like this that makes me think back to my favorite Disney movie, Mulan. I absolutely love Mulan, mostly because of this scene near the end. And if you haven't watched Mulan, go and watch it, but I'm not about to really spoil anything. But there's a scene near the end where the bad guy has the Emperor of China held hostage in the palace. And he's sitting there talking to him, and he's stalking around the room, and this is this big fucking Mongolian guy, just scary as all hell. And the Emperor of China is this twig-ass motherfucker, doesn't even lift, old scrawny-ass man. And the bad guy takes his sword out and he puts it at the Emperor's throat. And he's like, bow to me. And the Emperor kind of looks at him disparagingly, you know, evaluating him and not really being impressed with what he sees. And he says, and I want you to remember these words, okay? Remember these words, because these words have served me in good stead for the past few years. No matter how loud the wind howls, the mountain cannot bow to it. Be the mountain. Be the mountain. Do not let them affect you. If they come for you in your everyday life, be ready to fucking defend yourself. I carry a weapon on me 24/7. I'm ready if someone decides to start something with me. You know, be fucking ready. But so far as internet shit goes, internet tier, you know, cyberspace stuff, don't bow. Don't give a fucking inch to these people. They're threatened, they're pressed, and they know it. And we need to keep up the assault. We didn't turn this into a war, guys. We didn't. Okay? Now, some other people out there might have different ideas about this, but in my opinion, we didn't start this fight. We just wanted to talk about some cool shit that we liked. And that, talking about that cool shit that we like, threatens these people's power. And because of that, we cannot be allowed. We cannot be allowed to do this. We cannot be allowed to exist. The Pulp Revolution cannot happen because it threatens these people's power. And, you know, we didn't come out here with the expressed intention of taking away these people's audience. You know, they're perfectly welcome to have their shit. And if people want to read it, fine. Fuck it. I don't care. I don't, if this Jonathan McCalmont guy wants to have his fucking blog and write his fucking books, if he even does write fucking books, go for it, dude. I don't begrudge you a single fucking dollar that you earned. Not a one. But they view it like that. And they're going to turn this into a war. I'm just letting you guys know right now, this is going to get ugly. This is going to get real. We've already seen it with this shit right here that Alexander of Kyrsova went through, where he was, you know, described as a Nazi misogynistic fascist. He came out with that. Alexander was nothing but respectful to this fucking guy and the people that he was talking to in the comments section. And this guy came out with that. And this guy started with the adversarial shit. He started pushing. And we're going to have to let him know that we're not going to be pushed around like that. We're going to have to let everybody else who tries to push us around know that we're not going to be pushed. Your threats are fucking meaningless. Your buzzwords are meaningless. You can try and come after us like that, but it's not going to fucking work. We're immune. And we present a united front. If this shit breaks down like I think it's going to break down, we're going to have to present a united front. To take it full man of war, we're going to have to be brothers in arms. Because they're going to turn this into a war. They're going to. That's going to fucking happen. And we can survive by just being completely individualistic about it. But the problem with that, like MGTOW did that, and yeah, MGTOW survives, MGTOW goes on, but it's not what it once was. That's why I'm less involved. It's not what it once was. It's now completely disassociated. There is no loyalty there. And unfortunately, there can't be for various reasons. But with something like this, you know, we're all pretty much out here under our real names, you know. We're all going to be attacked. Employers are going to be called. We're going to get endless shit. People are going to get shit mailed to their house. People might show up on the fucking street, might show up at your job. It's going to get fucking ugly this year. This year, 2017. And I realize that I'm giving myself a really big window for my fucking predictions. But this year, shit is going to go down. It's going to get fucking real. This year, you know, the popularity of Jeffro's Appendix N book and the ability of Kirsova to get funded that fast for their issues for this year, issue 5 and 6, that's going to cause waves. That's going to cause problems. And these people are going to come after us. And we need to be fucking ready. We need to present a unified front. We need to stand by one another. And if somebody has to drop out, then they have to fucking drop out. If they weren't strong enough to weather the storm, then they weren't strong enough to weather the fucking storm, and we let them go their own way, and then we close ranks. So just be prepared. Shit's gonna get nasty, guys. You can mark my fucking words on this. Shit's gonna get nasty. Trust me. Be prepared. It's gonna get ugly. It's gonna get real fucking ugly. But if we present a unified front and we don't back down, then we can beat this, and we can get to that 10% number, and then we can change the fucking culture. Then we can change the fandom. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It's going to require some sacrifices for some people. So the best advice I can give is that, one, we don't lie. We don't lie. Because if you get caught in a lie, that's your fucking credibility shot. Shot. Absolutely shot. Not only will you expose yourself as a liar to your comrades in arms, and you will not be trusted by them anymore, you will not be trusted by the people that are assailing us. Not that they trusted you anyway, but now they'll actually have something to hold against you. And not just hold against you, but hold against the rest of us. So we have to tell the truth 100% of the fucking time. Do not lie, and do not get caught in a lie. We have to be resilient. We have to support one another. And we have to be fucking loud. We have to never shut up. Ever. No matter what happens. No matter what happens to any of us, we have to never, ever, ever shut the fuck up. Keep it rolling. Keep the momentum going. Because if we stop, if we have a break, that's our inertia gone. That's our driving force broken, gone. And if we stop moving forward, we'll never be able to get it back. Daddy Warpig wrote or was it Daddy Warpig? It was something else. It was something about the various, where the fuck did I read this? It was about the fact that there have been various failed revolutions in sci-fi and fantasy before, like the Futurians and shit like that. I don't remember what it was. But, pulp revolutions, quote unquote, have happened before. And if we allow our momentum to be checked, we will never recover it. We have to keep beating our drums. Even if we're tired, even if we want to go and rest, even if we want to take a month-long break and just figure some shit out, we can't. We have to stay strong, we have to stay resolute, and we have to keep beating these fucking drums. And be prepared for the backlash that is coming. It is coming, and it will get ugly. But stand strong, brothers. You are not alone. Okay? You are not alone. And with that, I've been going on for about an hour and a half. That's the fucking podcast. Thank you all very much for listening. I hope that you take these lessons into your own personal calculus of how you proceed. Like I say, I'm not speaking from revealed wisdom or anything like that. This is just shit that I've noticed, patterns that I've experienced, things that I've been a part of that I think that the pulp revolution can learn from and avoid pitfalls that we might fall into in the future. But we can avoid them if we just know that they're there and correct for that. So thank you all very much for listening. If you want to support me, then we'll do the sponsors here. You can go on to my website, jimfear138.blogspot.com. I have a store page up. You can find the Catherine Kimbridge Chronicles. I do get royalties off of those books, so go and buy those audiobooks. I've also done two audiobooks for Aaron Clary, Reconnaissance Man and enjoy the decline. They were very fun to do. I don't get royalties off of those, but Aaron shills me in his podcast like twice a week, so I have to return the favor. And even if I didn't, I would still recommend that you go and check Aaron out. So that's captaincapitalism.blogspot.com, and buy Aaron's books. You should also go pick up Appendix N by Jeffro Johnson, A Literary History of Dungeons and Dragons. I also have a Bandcamp up that has some old shit back when I had a shitty microphone and no real understanding of what I was doing behind the microphone. But they're there if you want them. So, you know, have fun. Let's see. I think that's about it. If I forgot anybody, then I'm sorry, but I'm going off the top of my fucking head here and I'm really drunk at this point. So, thank you all very much for listening. And I hope you all have a good weekend and a good week. And like I say, stay strong, brothers. This fight's going to get nasty, but we are the equal. We are the equal of the challenges that shall be thrown in our path. So, y'all have a good one. Peace out.